Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on week two of this series we're calling Labels. And we're studying through the Gospel of Luke, looking at this reality that the Gospel calls us to a life above labels. It's such a beautiful reality that we see over and over in Luke is Jesus interacting with and loving people who have been labeled by culture. You're a tax collector, you're a sinner, you're unclean, you're unrighteous. And Jesus coming to those people and saying, man, I came for the sinner. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And he calls those people above the labels to say, no, you follow me. You keep your eyes fixed on me. I came to save you. And we kicked off also on Monday our reading through the Gospel of Luke. So just a reminder, we're through the month of May reading a chapter a day, either on the YouVersion plan that we've talked about on Sunday mornings or in those NIV journaling Bibles that we've handed out. So I hope that's going well for everybody. Keep up the good work. Hashtag LP Bible. If you want to interact on social media, take a photo of your book and what you're learning, the notes you're writing down, fantastic. We're going to encourage each other that way. Hashtag LP Bible. But we're reading a chapter a day. Take a day off on Sundays as we gather. And by the end of May, you'll have finished the entire Gospel of Luke and hopefully develop that habit of reading the scriptures. On Sunday, one of the things we talked through, we were at the end of Luke. I was teaching on the end of Luke 1 and the beginning of Luke 2 and sort of the traditional Christmas narrative. And we said, we're doing Christmas in May, but that's a good thing because the story of Jesus's birth, the incarnation, isn't just a good story for Christmas time. It's a reality, a truth that should be for all time, that is for all time, that should change our daily reality. We should talk about it more than just at Christmas time. But one of the things I highlighted was the response of Mary versus the response of Zechariah. So in Luke 1, the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and says, hey, you and your wife are going to have a son, and he's going to be named John, and he's going to lead the way for the coming of the Lord and fulfill these prophecies of the Old Testament. And Zechariah's response, and hear me say, Zechariah is not like a bad dude. It says he was righteous and blameless before the Lord, both he and his wife. But because they're old and they haven't been able to have a kid for a long time, Zechariah kind of doubts. And he says, how do I know that, how can I be sure this is going to happen? And he gets a little bit rebuked for that, for his unbelief, that he doesn't believe. And God is gracious in it. So he's not able to speak. The angel says, you're not going to be able to speak for the 9 months till your child is born. But that ends up actually being a sign to him that, hey, this is going to happen. So in some ways, it's like a grace. Even in the discipline, there's mercy there. But he does sort of get rebuked for his lack of faith there. The priest, the guy who has served at the temple for decades, is like, oh man, I don't know. How's that going to happen? We were old and we haven't been able to have a kid for a long time. And then Gabriel comes to this teenage girl, most likely teenage girl, Mary, who's betrothed to be married to Joseph. And, she's not not a priest. We don't know how religious, her background, but like the angel looks at Mary and says, you're going to have a child. And she's like, how's that going to work? I'm a virgin. And he's like, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow them. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And this child will be conceived by the Holy Spirit miraculously. Like it's going to be before you're married and do what married people do. Like this is going to be a one-time miraculous event where you're going to conceive a child. And that's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. And her response is, let it be done to me according to your word. Like she's like, okay. And so you've got I love so often what we see in the scriptures is God just working in ways that are so different than the ways in we work. And the humbling of the prideful, the exalting of the humble. And I just think you see here, like Zechariah, the priest for decades. And again, righteous and blameless man, but he comes to that moment, a little bit of doubt there, like, oh Lord, how's that going to work out? Then you've got this probably teenage girl who, when she's told, you're going to have a child conceived by the Holy Spirit, she's like, okay, I believe you. Let it be done to me according to your word. And I just think that's such a fantastic response and honestly a model for us. There's a song right now that I've listened to a number of times. There's a group called Maverick City. They're very popular. right now, and they do a wonderful job. And one of their songs is called Man of Your Word. And it just, the line goes, because if you said it, we believe it. Because you're a man of your word, talking to the Lord, right? You fulfill your promises. And so we're going to believe. And I think this is at the heart of, you know, when Jesus says we have to have faith like a child. It's not about like, oh, we just don't think about things, or we don't ever ask questions, or we're not rational. That's not at all what it's about. It's about trusting fully and saying, Lord, when you say something, when I look in your word and I see that it says your steadfast love endures forever, or that God works all things to the good of those who love him. You know what? Even if my circumstances right now don't seem very good and I can't see exactly how you're working, Lord, sometimes it doesn't feel like your steadfast love is enduring forever. I'm going to trust that it does. I'm going to believe that you are working all things for my good, for your glory, because you said it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have that childlike faith that says complete trust, right? If you see a young kid with a good parent, there's just total trust there. You're like, jump off the stairs, I'll catch you. And the kid's like, you know, the kid doesn't look at you and go, I don't know about that. They just jump because they know that you'll catch them. It's that type of trust that says, Father, if you said it, then I believe it. And I hope for you and for me that that's the kind of faith that we'll have. And if you struggle like I do sometimes, it's okay, I think, to pray that prayer. Good to pray that prayer. Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe. Help me to exercise and have that childlike faith, that full trust in you. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take some time to pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would help us to trust you like Mary did. I mean, that's extraordinary news that she heard, Lord, and she looked at you and said, let it be done to me according to your word. Lord, may those be our words to you. Oh, let it be done to me according to your word. I trust you. If you said it, then I believe it, because you're a good God and you are faithful and trustworthy. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.